Seconds left on a tough night for the Broncos in Tampa. And it looks like Boise State not going to have another snap. And the crowd of what is left here at Tampa is celebrating a fine win.
Yeah.
Nice win for USF.
Last night. You called it. You said you don't go down there into Tampa and come out, you know, the same or whatever.
Just that early in the season.
Beat the hell out of
them. I mean, maybe later on in the season they probably would have got him. But just so much turnover at Boise State, losing maybe the best player in Boise State history, running back, who you said yesterday, all right, we just need you to win this game. Give him the ball 30 times. He'll rush for 270 and we'll win.
Here. Take it to the house.
You know what I was watching? Like, all the running backs stand like he stood. All of, like, the other two.
Arms at your side.
The other two, at least.
Like, all the Boise guys?
Yeah. They had their hands, like on their hip a little bit. But, yeah, all of them got that little straight-up-ass stance.
Well, it's one of those things that, like, at least for me, I never notice how any running back stands until they start pointing out that he stood weird.
Uh-huh.
And then I started looking at other people, and I was like, oh, okay, most people
like
kind of stand
Nick Chubb has a higher stance. Nick Chubb has a higher stance, too, a little bit. But, yeah, I was wanted to be – I was like,
Straight up a little bit.
I mean, they're short, so they can't see over the line, I guess. I don't know.
I don't know. I'm not sure. But they got smoked last night. So probably not going back to the college football playoff this year.
That opens
Boise
the door
State.
For Tulane.
And South Florida. You never know.
I know they got to play Florida. They got to play the Gators. I think they got to go to Gainesville. But and Miami. Okay, so.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyway, nice win to start this season. Awful early to be worried about any of that kind of stuff, but obviously for Boise State, not the way you want to start your season. Georgia Tech and Colorado tonight. We spent a little bit of time talking about that in the first segment. Auburn and Baylor, too. Mm-hmm. Big game for both. Yeah.
I think it's bigger for Auburn, though.
Do you?
I do. I just think that, you know, not saying it's not big for Baylor, but I just think more for Auburn because they're trying to get this identity back about Auburn. And for them to go into Baylor and find a way to get the win, that'd be so big.
It would be a big win.
It'd be a big win.
It'd be a big win. Because I think Baylor's not a bad team.
Baylor's pretty good. But I think it would be a big win.
They won their final seven games in a row last year. They got their quarterback back.
And they got a hell of a coach.
They got a good coach.
A hell of a football coach.
Yeah.
And so I think if they can go in there, talking about Auburn, and find a way to get that dub, that'd be so big to start the season.
I agree. That's an intriguing game tonight.
And Auburn's an intriguing team. I was talking to them, having fun with them yesterday, but they're an intriguing team.
They are.
Because they got talent. And Auburn's always going to have talent. It's just that quarterback position where they just got to figure out that who's going to be that dude.
Yeah.
They got players.
And again, I mean, Jackson Arnold has talent.
He has it.
It's just a matter of.
And Hugh Freeze is a hell of an offensive coach.
He is. Like let him run.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's got the legs to do that. And in that game, Auburn's favored by 1.5 in Waco.
All right.
So, that should be a fun one tonight, too. There's a handful of good ones tonight. Obviously, Georgia Tech, Colorado of most interest here. Tomorrow, ton of good games, too. Texas, Ohio State, Alabama, Florida State, LSU, Clemson, and then Notre Dame, Miami on Sunday. Roddy Nabalsi going to join us in about 15 minutes. We'll talk Georgia and Marshall with him as well, but a good portion of the noon hour will be devoted to all of those games. Let's hear from Raheem Morris, who spoke with the media yesterday. Falcons had practice. There was some good news from practice as far as Darnell Mooney coming back. Here he is talking about replacing McGarry.
That's a huge thing. That was more of it. I kind of brought that up. Like, that's more of what McGarry does, and that's more of our strength. That's more of what we've been able to do. I don't know if the analytical guys here today that usually handle that stuff for me, but like we run the ball significantly better to the right side. You know, there's no secret there because of guys like McGarry and Lindstrom playing together, doing it for a certain amount of years, being drafted together, growing up together, all of those things, there's no secret. And that's definitely more of a deal than just the blind side protection. The reason you can downplay some of the blind side protection is because some of the gun stuff and the gun snaps that are in the game now, that wasn't in the game when Joe Montana played.
Right, totally.
Yes.
And, I mean, that's kind of where we've been with it pre-injury even with McGarry because we asked him about that.
Yes.
He was like, kind of, but he's in the gun most of the time, so his shoulders are square to the line.
Yes.
So it's okay. The real issue is they love to run right.
Yes.
They love to run behind those two movers over there.
Think about it, these dudes have been day ones. They've been starting at that right side from
the day.
That's a lot of rep, Buck. That's a whole lot of reps. That's going to be missed. And so they got to do it by committee. No, they don't need to do it by committee. You got to find your guy and go with him. And then if he's bad, you try to replace him with somebody else. But yeah, I mean, you lose a big part of what you want to do, and that's run the football. I still am under the impression of myself. I don't think all is lost because of it. But I think that they got 2 weeks to get it right, or however long, 10 days, whatever, to get this right. Got a whole week of practice prep, getting ready for Tampa. They don't need to be rotating next week, all right? Meaning, okay, you get the first reps, Elijah, then you – no, let him go. If you think he's the best player, which I – of the three guys
– of the three options.
Yes, I think Elijah Wilkinson is the best option for him.
And Raheem kind of clarified yesterday, too, because they had made a couple – moves to address depth at right tackle. None of those guys they traded for are in the running to be the starter. No. Like Elijah Wilkinson, Jack,
him,
Nelson,
yeah,
and then Parker. Those are the three guys. The guys that have been here are competing.
Yes,
and Wilkinson is probably, I mean, certainly the most seasoned of them.
Yes,
he started 20 games in the NFL at right tackle.
Yes.
Not here, but he did.
Yes.
And he started at left guard here a couple years ago, too. So he started a handful of games in the NFL. Yes.
So it just seems that like he is the guy that's going to fill that void. And that's a big void to fill.
Yeah, like no one's saying it's going to be the same.
No.
But he's at least a guy who's been out there before. Those other guys haven't. Yeah, so that's kind of that. Well, Greg Cosell is going to join us in the 1 o'clock hour. NFL Films, just a film breakdown guru. We will ask him what he thinks the Falcons – like specifically lose in not having McGarry out there at right tackle, just kind of what he sees the offense looking like without him, some of the changes that they might have to institute. So we'll get into that. Obviously the biggest story of the day yesterday, not just in the NFL, but period, was the fact that the Cowboys traded Micah Parsons.
Yes.
Traded him to the Packers for a couple future first round draft picks, one in 26, one in 27, and Kenny Clark, who's a really nice player.
Kenny's a good player.
Yeah. And so that's how the Micah Parsons saga in Dallas comes to an end.
Well, I think the thing is that this seems like, if we read up, it's been going on for a couple of days as far as the parameters of a trade. You get the two ones, which are the way Green Bay plays, they'll be mid, late 20s. Also, you get Kenny Clark, who's on his third contract with the Packers. I was looking it up; he's $2 million against cap this year, $21 million next year. So this could be a 1 year rental. It better not be a 1 year rental. Kenny Clark is one of the better D tackles in ball. I mean, he's just underrated. You don't hear a lot about him, but he's been a really good player since they drafted him out of UCLA in the first round. But this is about Micah, and you put him on that defense that they struggle with the pass rush, but more importantly, they struggle covering. So you put him over Rashawn Gary, that's a problem.
Yeah, Packers just got way better.
Yes, they did. I love that they were talking, one of the main reporters for ESPN, the Packers, he's like, how did this go? And I think it was something that was brought up earlier this summer when Gutekunst went to the head coach, like, would you like to have Micah Parsons?
Yes. Can you get him?
Can you get him?
I don't know, but things are getting pretty weird down there in Dallas.
Exactly. And they were to a point, and Jerry's got to say something. And I know now that everybody, he's gone, Micah wasn't that good and all those different things. Micah was so good that when he wasn't playing, when he was not at the off-ball linebacker, they couldn't stop the run. And then when they put him at off-ball linebacker, they couldn't rush passers. So that's how good this dude is. Yes, they run it all pass rushers. Right? And they made it seem like, oh, they're just running him because of that. No, they run it. That's what you do to pass rushers. You run at them. And
there's nothing you can say to make it less terrible.
This dude is a freaking animal.
Yeah, and you blew it.
And you blew it.
You blew it.
This dude is a game-wrecking player, period.
That's right.
Period.
Yeah, and he's not on your team anymore because of you.
Yes.
Like, you could have gotten this done, and you didn't get it done out of stubbornness.
Yes.
And you've done it a bunch of times before, and that's why whenever we talked about it, it was like, well, that's kind of how it always goes.
Yep.
And then he gets it done. You kind of gamble the last minute. Problem with gambling is sometimes you lose. And he lost this one.
Yes.
In a horrible way. I don't know, man.
It was. It was.
It was pretty.
Like, it didn't have to go this way.
No.
It did not at all.
It should have never gone this way.
Dang, it should have never went this way. And all you had to do, and I understand the handshake and all those different things like that, and from what Shefty said, it was 40.5, which at that time he would have signed, it would have been the biggest contract. But it had to be something else in that contract. It said it was a five-year deal. I know that Dak and CD and most guys, when they were negotiating with Jerry wants the 5 years. They want the 4 years. Now, you add the extension on to this year that's going to go to it. It's essentially a five-year deal. Jerry wanted the five and this. And he's like, no, I don't want that. I want it like this. And it's going to be weird because I just found out that David is George Pickens' agent, which, George Pickens goes to George Pickens things. I don't think they'll give him a contract, though. I think it's one and down for George.
Yeah, obviously the relationship with any client that he has in the future with the Cowboys is going to be tough.
Yes.
And then also just people in general now getting drafted by the Cowboys. It's like, well, hopefully I'm not too good.
But I think that's the
thing. And then he's going to do this to me.
But it's crazy because he does that, but he's done it with everybody. He did it with, he tried to get out in front of it with Dak, and Dak was like, nah, go talk to Todd. You know, CD, nah, go talk to me. Like, Micah's biggest mistake was Micah engaged with him. Micah made it seem like it. I'm pretty sure Jerry, him and Jerry shook on something, and I'm pretty sure Jerry thought he had him. He's like, nah. Let me go talk to David. Well, why do you need to talk to him? He works for you. That is true. He does work for me, but he works for me too.
And in the end, Micah plays for a better team.
Yes.
And got the money that he wanted.
Yep.
Well,
got to live in Green Bay.
True.
But, I mean, that's a whole lot of money to keep me warm.
Yeah, that's true. Buy a coat.
Yeah.
You only got to live in Green Bay part of the year, right?
Yeah.
You can, I don't know where he's from. Where's Micah from? Someplace warm, probably.
I think the PA guy. Or,
oh, not one.
I think.
So he's used to the cold.
Yeah.
All right. Roddy Nabalsi is going to join us next. We'll talk some Georgia football with him ahead of Georgia's season opener tomorrow against Marshall. See what he's looking for. What success look like for certain individuals? We'll get into all of that with Roddy Nabalsi after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.